Let me share with you a bit of my experience with programming languages. I started my career in informatics learning how to program using an Apple II computer with Apple Basic. So that hopefully will put me on a timeline along with Dave.
I used to teach
okay. So you know what era I came in as an informatician. It wasn't called informatics then. The title of my presentation is Developing the Career Pipeline for PHI. So we can think of training in informatics as going through a pipeline. You know, you sort of begin with an interest early on in your career. In my case, I began my interest with computers when I was a second year medical student, and I, using my knowledge of Apple Basic, eventually DBase 2, and an Apple II computer, I built the first computerized tumor registry for our hospital. So that's the that's where it begins. And then, of course, you have to make sure that that there are things happening within that pipeline that will ensure that whoever is training will eventually end up in a meaningful career. And right now, we are still in the process of building that pipeline. So for this presentation, I'll be talking about three things. Basically, as an introduction, I'll talk about the health system and how the informatics workforce is supposed to support that health system. I'll talk a little about our fellowship, the Public Health Informatics Fellowship Program. By the way, a shameless plug, we have a booth out there, and you can go drop by the booth if you want a longer conversation with about our fellowship and we'd be glad to share information about that. And then I'll talk a little about the PHI workforce initiatives that we are beginning in our program. And the earlier speakers somehow, like Marty, for instance, already talked about the third year practicum that we initiated in Minnesota as a partnership. So about the workforce and the health system, in 2002, the Institute of Medicine report on the future of the public's health in the 21st century, and another report that came out in 2003 on who will keep the public healthy, cited the need for new skills among public health workforce, including informatics. And then the WHO, not a fairly recent document, also which is about health system strengthening, also said that that workforce and information systems are key components to strengthen health systems. So workforce and information systems really go together in terms of strengthening health systems. Let me talk a little about the Public Health Informatics Fellowship Program. So ours is a two-year applied training program for professionals with backgrounds in health and IT. And for more information, you can go to the website. As the link up there will provide you with more information about our fellowship. It is one of the public health residencies at CDC, SEPDPO. We have two divisions that actually house those fellowships, and David is the division director for one of them. We have a total of 71 graduates out there, and 70% are working in public health. More and more are working with the more recent batches, and 50% are working at CDC. We have three graduates working as informaticians at state and local health departments, and I see one of them over there. Alan Tominas is one of our graduates working at LA County, and of course Pat already. Pat already, and we have one other alumnus working at Oregon. Actually, I miscounted. We have four. I recently discovered from J.A. Magnuson at Oregon that there's another alumnus working with her, but in another division. So we have those states, California, Oregon, and Minnesota. And we want, of course, to have our fellows in more states. And we want to have more graduates in more states. But we need to have to sort of exert a deliberate effort to push graduates of our training programs in those kinds of assignments and positions. But, and then the other thing that I'd want to mention about our training program is in 2001, Sarah Fraser wrote in the BMJ article about the need for transformational learning. And that is because the environment that we begin to exist in public health and in informatics is increasingly becoming more complex. And in the kind of environment, you know, where you can easily move from, you know, from very familiar to very familiar work environments with familiar tasks to unfamiliar environments and unfamiliar tasks, it would require, you know, a different kind of building capability, such that our graduates should be able to take what they have learned and adapt to those changing conditions. And that's what we need to, you know, to develop for transformational learning. There's a saying that it's an African proverb that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And there have been books that were written about this proverb. One was by Jane Cohen Fletcher, it takes a village, in 1994. And even the former First Lady wrote a book about it. What I'd like to say is that it takes a village to train public health informaticians. And I'd go into a little bit of detail about that. And it takes a village to also build a career pipeline for public health informaticians. Why it takes a village is because, you know, we have multiple feeder disciplines, which presents both a challenge and an opportunity. Because the diverse training and experience backgrounds of the trainees actually become a resource, because when they get to discuss very complex problems, you know, the different perspectives would come into play, and you fellows who you know, would be able to share their perspectives coming from those different backgrounds and experience into the solutions that come about. And then at the same time, we also have diverse sources of knowledge coming from those disciplines, which also eventually become also sources of wisdom. And then our training in public health informatics needs both the depth and breadth, which somehow is a challenge, you know, in developing curricula for training. And then we are also about cross-cutting practice. Health is a complex construct. Just consider the social determinants of disease. You can easily go from upstream, you know, to more structural elements that bring about the disease conditions, to the more, you know, more proximal, closer to the patient type of conditions. And then public health, you know, as we have defined it, as the Institute of Medicine has defined it, is what we as a society collectively do, you know, to ensure that conditions exist for people to be healthy. So it's really, you know, it's really about collaboration. And at many levels, from federal to local, international, and even community level, we have an interdependent web of relationships that public health informaticians need to navigate to be able to effectively support the work of public health. And then, in an ecosystem sense, we are all producers and consumers of information used in public health. You know, so this, in our fellowship, it takes a village because, for one, when we developed our competencies, you know, we had to draw upon the experience of a village of villages, the village of informaticians, you know, that helped develop the CDC University of Washington competencies. And the public health, the competencies for public health workers by the Council on Linkages Between Academia and Public Health. Our curriculum is a, you know, 14 module, 3.5 week that involves a lot of stakeholders. And even our info aids, you know, when we deliver our info aids, which is both service and learning, it involves working with partners, you know, such that our fellows get to view the different perspectives coming from those partners. And in both the service and the learning environment, they meaningful learning happens. Building the career pipeline likewise requires the work of a village. PHI jobs need a name. You need something to call it with. And we are working on a project with the Department of Labor right now to develop the job classification, national job classification. So hopefully this will help the efforts across states to, you know, for them to develop their own job classifications or serve as a template. And then the other thing about pipelines is that, you know, when we train informaticians, PHI job seekers need PHI positions. And with current economic and budgetary constraints, we have a challenge where we need public health informaticians to be. The informatics workforce is often not where the action is needed, and partnerships are key to developing that pipeline. So with the Department of Labor, we want to develop the job classification to be able to track investments in training so that we become accountable for those investments. And at the same time, we want to help support the development of state-based public health informatics infrastructure. And then Marty has already talked about the third year practicum. I'm not going to talk about that in detail. We're also working on, so the more distal to that pipeline, the more end of that pipeline will be longer term careers. We're actually working on developing the career informatics field officer type of positions as patterned after CIFO, the CIFO program. We have LA County as a first volunteer. And we have other upcoming activities. We have upcoming collaboration with the CSTA and ASTO to fund one-year field practicum. So we appreciate our partners for helping us out with this activity. And, of course, a third-year global field assignment with CDC GAP and South Africa. So that working, you know, developing trainee, developing informaticians takes a village. Developing the career pipeline takes a village. So we appreciate the work that we do with our partners, and thank you.
Thank you, Herman. Our last presenter is Jim Pearsall. We go way back to yesterday when we first met. Jim is in his fifth year as the Chief Program Officer for ASTA's Accreditation, Performance, and Quality Improvement Survey Research, Evaluation, Leadership, Workforce, and Health Informatics Portfolio of Projects. That sounds very busy. He also helped develop the National Public Health Accreditation Board and also brings us a state perspective because he had been the Assistant Director of the Ohio Department of Health. I could go on and on, but it's Jim's turn to react to what we've heard so far today.
Thanks very much, and thank you, panel, for really some great presentations. To give you some of my technology history cred and show you how hip I was, I had the first portable computer, a K-Pro 2, and for you young kids out there, look that up on the internet. That's a pretty exciting device. So I was a happening guy then and now, as I will show you. This presentation is like fireworks, so I want you to stick with me as we go through this. As you think about fireworks on a special event, fireworks go up and you see the beautiful colors and you go, what? Ooh. And then you hear this like crackling stuff that happens after that, and that kind of gets you an ah. And then you wait another second longer, and then there's that boom. So, three parts to my remarks, and it looked just like those fireworks. So let's start with the ooh part. I want to thank Dave for his comments about what the workforce needs to know and taking that challenge on. I know that the Beaumont Foundation has really taken a lot of pride in that work, and we really think that's a step in the right direction with the Informatics Academy. Marty has done a super job in providing some guidance to any state health agency on where are you with regard to strategic priorities, your health informatics project, your health informatics capacity, and then that wonderful line of thinking from data, information, knowledge, and wisdom to practice. So are we thinking in those kinds of terms? Certainly with regard to challenges and recommendations on fellowships, and then what an informatics savvy organization needs to have to sort of create, leverage, assure, and communicate informatics. Dr. Wu Zhu gave us really three wonderful kinds of conceptions to think about: a management model for how we approach informatics in terms of the quarterly strategy, monthly operations, and biweekly IT work. Are we thinking in those terms in our agencies? Sort of an integration model, showing the links between the programs of public health, EPI functionality, informatics, and centralized management. I think that's a really clever model, and the importance of integration interoperability. And then what I would call a celebration model, which I thought was really cool, in terms of recognition and awards, in terms of the public health informatics communities approach that she took. And then certainly Herman has given us a good review of the national informatics workforce context and opportunities, and the idea of career informatics field officers is really just going to resonate more and more with the practice community, I think, going forward. So these presenters have talked to us about the importance of individual workforce development in informatics, the importance of the agency role in workforce development and informatics, and then what I call the enterprise-wide role in informatics workforce development. This requires leadership and change at all levels. I think we see that. I want to just caution us not to be satisfied or complacent about focusing our attention on any one level, just individual agency or enterprise, because it's going to take the collective. So if there's one thing I would say to you about workforce development and informatics, it's that a multi-layered engagement is essential for how we're going to proceed. And you can think about that along many lines of dimension. But I'd like to take you through what that might mean with a parallel to a concept that changed public health. And I would call that the response of the nation after 9/11 and the rollout of preparedness. I think informatics has that profound a kind of impact on how public health is going to proceed over the next decade or two. And so let me draw out some parallels for you. First of all, preparedness required us to think through multi-layer engagement, both vertically and horizontally, in terms of how our programs acted, in terms of reactivity, and in how we collectively across programs or horizontally provided technology and other kinds of support for that kind of work. I would ask you, what is our ICS, incident command structure, type of training for every employee in the context of informatics? Have we worked that out? Have we even thought that through in terms of our public health workforce? What should everyone need to know, and how should we do that? And to what extent have we invited external expertise? I think certainly the fellowships and internships you've heard about are examples of that. But shared services is really where preparedness took its pathway in terms of bringing in other cabinet agencies, other sectors, academia, non-governmental health and its importance and role, and even the technology vendors and partners in terms of solutions, in terms of rapid response and those kinds of things. Every public health program has system staff on its agenda, so preparedness was no different, and in this case I'll just spread the conversation further. If you have a chronic disease program, there's somebody who's doing system work for that program. If you have an MCH program, there's somebody doing system work. Those are the prime candidates for conversion to informatics. If that conversation isn't taking place, it needs to happen. And then they need to communicate with each other across an agency. The last thing I'll use in terms of the preparedness comparison was the importance of the state-local benefit, that sort of mutual benefit. So in this case, I would even say federal, state, and local mutual benefit. Are we capitalizing on ways to maximize that? In preparedness, there was a local enhancement feature of the kind of work we did, a state enhancement feature, and then this category in between, which was sort of shared enhancement or shared development. And I think in informatics, that same logic takes place. What are we doing at the local level? What are we doing at the state level? And then what is the shared expertise that needs to happen to make things improve? But we have other enterprise vehicles right now, I think, that we needed to embrace and take into account. And so as I wandered through the poster sessions downstairs, I kept seeing example after example of process improvement strategies around informatics. And you can think of that as business process analysis or any language you want to use. But if you think about what's happening nationally in almost every other context of public health, infrastructure improvement, performance management, and quality improvement, which is a plan, do, study, act cycle, which is exactly the same as every cycle you saw there in terms of how to convert a program interest into an informatics solution and do some problem solving. Those things are the same. So let's capitalize on this conversation that's taking place and not view ourselves too exclusively in that regard. And so I would encourage that we consider that. I think there's the National Public Health Improvement Initiative, which is coming out of this new Office of State, Local, Tribal, Territorial Support, OSTILTS, I don't think I did that right, but pretty close, which is really building infrastructure and performance and improvement. The informatics base of that should be obvious to everyone, and its use in terms of quality improvement ought to be defined. And then certainly the Public Health Accreditation Board measures and standards. Embedded in those measures and standards is really informatics opportunity again and again and again. And so an agency that's smart state or local, going for accreditation is going to use as its documentation for a site review its informatics projects that are making some kind of difference. So I think there's a lot to be said there. You all know about linking to healthcare, but I was reminded again by one of national private sector interests. Public health needs to get connected again and again to healthcare, because if we don't do it fast enough, it's just going to take off without us. So the last thing I would say about CDC in terms of the enterprise development is thank you for the work that you're doing in terms of fellowships and internships. I spoke yesterday about the value of direct assistance. When we think about what's happening to state budgets and very likely to happen with federal budgets, direct assistance placements of expertise might be one way to go. I also think that, just like I mentioned at the outset, the time for strategy is now, and the time for clever strategy is now. The CDC is going to be capped in terms of its resource capacity. We need to be thinking about there's enough money in all the centers if the centers rethink their obligation to system change and collectively do that. There's enough money there. We don't need somebody else's money. Now, that's a sort of a strategy of will, a strategy of collaboration, but an important place to end up. So enough with the crackling. So now here comes the boom. This is not just all about celebration. This is about a larger context in which of the loss of government and public sector jobs are a huge obstacle to an economic recovery. And then sadly, we're in a position where the only good job is a private sector job. If it's a public sector job, it's not a good job. So we're going to be in a recovery mess if we don't come to grips with that. ASTO and NACHO have done a repeated series of surveys since 08 that's just documenting the decline in the workforce. Now it's ticking upward from 44,000 lost jobs in state and local public health, which have resulted in programs cut or eliminated, hiring freezes, mandatory furloughs, layoffs, and loss of staff due to attrition. And then the National Conference of State Legislatures tells us that the state budgets in 2012 and 2013 are going to be worse than they've been so far. And then we're still hearing the sound of thunder in the distance with regard to how the federal budgets are going to look. So let's not be unrealistic. So if we have to be wise and strategic and practical, let's rethink the assets that we have and reframe them in a way that's going to build the individual workforce development in informatics, the agency-wide workforce development strategies and responsibilities, and the enterprise-wide responsibilities and strategies. So with that, we look forward to your questions and comments, and thank you very much.
Thank you. That was a great, very enjoyable presentation, and the boom is unfortunately happening. Let's open this up for questions. I don't see a mic out here, so if you could stand up and speak loudly, I will repeat your question, and we'll go from there.
Test.
It works, too.
Oh, we do have one. What do you know?
Thank you.
I'm Joe Gibson from Marion County Health Department in Indianapolis. There's been a lot of informatics training grants going to some universities, and they're creating certificate programs that people enroll in, and over the course of a year, taking a lot of classes, get certified. But I've got a health department full of people who need to get trained, and I'm wondering if the Informatics Academy content, I think, is excellent in that we don't necessarily need to train people to be database managers or to really understand EHRs in any depth, but we need them to understand how to manage informatics projects. And I was working with some guys in Indiana to do an introduction to public health informatics. We made the mistake of doing all that technical stuff, and then we saw the Informatics Academy content and went, we're doing the wrong stuff here. is there some plan to get funding out for that sort of training as opposed to these certificate programs that are really impractical for people who are working in public health to go through and really aren't going to touch that many people in public health?
Just so everybody knows, Joe was one of the students in the academy. He's been deeply involved, knows about what we've been teaching. In answer to your question, my two cents on this would be that we have to begin by acknowledging the depth of the need. And second, if we can agree that with what either we are doing within the Informatics Academy or what others are doing has produced evidence that it's worthy of being disseminated. There's a lot of training that goes on, but that which is worthy of being disseminated is, there's not that much evidence out there. We're trying to produce some evidence that we're teaching worthy stuff and in a way that people learn and use it and it changes the effectiveness of them in the workplace. But let's assume that we've got that together. I think this is where the federal government can play a big role. Just by changing grant guidance and enabling state and local agencies that receive those grants, that it says in there, you need, if you're going to use some of this money for an informatics initiative or an information system improvement or whatever it is, you have an obligation to have people who have a certificate. You can use some of this grant money to pay for that. That would become at least the beginnings of a business case for a group like us who's trying to offer you a product. Our proposition has been a customer-centric proposition. That is, if it's good enough that you would pay for it, it's good. If it's just grant-based where we've got money to give it to you, you'll probably take it, but it might not be any good. I'd like the pressure of a customer service relationship personally. So the way to make that happen is that the people who can put strings around the money, put strings that help enable this to take place so that your agency would have, within its authority at least, the option to buy some of that training should it be offered. And I think our goal within the Informatics Academy has been to try to figure out how to deliver it at a price you could afford. And as you know, Joe, not everybody wants to get a certificate tied ultimately to a degree or part of a degree program because that becomes a lot more expensive. It's a lot more expensive for a university to put that together, and it therefore winnows the audience. So the point I was trying to make in my talk about the academy is we're trying to go after professional certificate training. Admittedly, it's lightweight. It's not everything in the world one might want to know. But if it's targeted to that knowledge that specific audiences need, and it's done well, and it's priced reasonably, I hope we can make that sustainable.
I have a question from someone online. My question is for Herman. Herman, are you aware of similar work, job classification for public health informaticians internationally?
I have not explored that area yet, but whoever asked can send me an email so I can reply to the question online if I, you know, if I get to discovering what other efforts are going on out there outside the U.S.
Hi, I'm Yvette Dominique, and I'm a CDC employee. And one of my questions about the public health informatics, currently within CDC, public health informatics fellows are hired under the health scientist informatics job series. So my question is, for individuals that actually have the experience in public health and informatics, but the degree is informatics, those individuals cannot qualify based upon human resources, cannot qualify for the position because they do not have a public health or a health sciences degree. Is that the intent of the public health informatics program, or is that a misunderstanding within, or maybe there needs to be some clarification within human resources as to what individuals qualify for those positions?
Can you kindly repeat your question again?
Currently, a public health informatics fellow qualifies for a health scientist informatics position, job series 0601. However, individuals that have the experience and background of a public health informatics fellow cannot qualify for that position, even though they have the experience of the public health informatics fellow, because they do not have a degree in public health or health science. In other words, if you are an individual that has an IT degree with extensive experience in public health, developing public health systems, prevention systems, that individual cannot qualify based upon OPM guidelines. Well, that's what human resources says, that individual cannot qualify because they do not have a health scientist degree. So my question is that the intent, or is there some plan that there is actually a true public health informatics career path established separate from the health scientist informatics 0601 job series?
Well, thank you for your question, because it brings up a very important aspect of, you know, what happens after training, especially for our fellows who get hired at CDC. So right now, there are many what we call the other type of positions where, you know, our public health informatician graduates can apply for. Unfortunately, again, because of that dissonance between, you know, what the training is and what positions they end up with, that is exactly the reason why we want to develop a national classification, job classification for public health informatician, so that finally, in the end, we can get our trainees into the positions that they deserve, you know, with salary scales that are commensurate to their level of training.
Can I add one thing? I just want to applaud you, Herman, for doing this, because this came up several years ago. And some wise person I was talking to, and I can't remember who it was, but we were in some forum probably 4 years ago or so, complaining about the challenge. And this wise person said, you know, the way to fix this is you get a career Bureau of Labor Statistics, I guess BLS is the group that does this, right? It creates the labor categories, and that those labor categories are what become the foundation of civil service systems, whether it's in the federal government, state, or local governments. But governmental systems build around that. And that's probably the most important thing that we're all talking about. If you can get that done, that's a real step forward. It gives the states an opportunity to say, this is a professional track of people, mm-hmm. and it's recognized. So, good on you.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm Karen Dahlin, and I live in Colorado, but I work in New England. And I have been working with 8 public health departments under a grant that's funded by the National Library of Medicine, the New England region. We are in the process of developing a digital library platform that resides on public health department intranets. My question to you is, to all of the panelists, is in any kind of new curriculum that's being developed, how do you plan to provide trusted library, evidence-based library resources to these new fellows, to the new tracks, because it's been my experience, and I saw Maine CDC listed up there, and Maine CDC is one of the public health departments that we're working with. They basically told us they had no relationship with any library. They were hoping that they could get their CDC fellow to get information from the CDC library. I used to work for the CDC library, by the way. But anyway, the bottom line is there's a lot of chaos going out on around about how to get trusted information library resources. And so I just wanted to get your insight. Thank you.
What do you think?
Thanks for raising these questions. Utah Department of Health, we do not have a formal relationship to access the digital resources. And usually we use a personal, like a dual appointment or the students to get information. So if you, CDC or National Library can facilitate the systematic get a local and state Department of Health, that type of access would be great.
And in Minnesota, it is a challenge. We still have a library services at the Department of Health, although it's been scaled back. And that is the source of science information for the staff at the health department. But we've also established a relationship through the informatics programs at the university. So between the university library and the health department library services, that provides at least some access online to some of the kinds of materials that are needed from the academic side. We still struggle with it being such a new area that there's just a lot of documents that aren't out in the traditional literature right now, and making all of that available and accessible in a way that we can get access beyond Google is an important a step as well.
I want to make a comment about the library part, because I'm a research assistant at the National Coordinating Center for Public Health Services and Systems Research in Kentucky. And I don't know which organization would be taking the lead on it, but for our field, one of the things that we did is to build an EndNote library. And it's a joint venture between us and NLM. And we have a librarian. He's around here somewhere. He's a public health librarian. And what he does is pretty much every month he's responsible of calling the literature and PHSSR and updating that EndNote and making it available to any researchers or practitioners or whoever wants it. It's available on our website. So that could be maybe a model that can be translated to informatics. I just don't know who would be setting it up and who is going to maintain it. But I know that for Robert, it doesn't take him much. I mean, he just pretty much every month goes through the usual suspects of literature, and it's easy to just click send to EndNote and then update it, so it's fair. But just a thought.
Simply to add to that, while we're heading to the next question, is that I think it really raises an important area in an emerging field, the documentation of what becomes trusted literature becomes very important, and sharing that access to that through appropriate knowledge bases is a real issue. And I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, and we need to find ways in order to not have all of us reinvent that same effort and better share it. So great question. Thank you.
Yeah, I am Dr. Mushlain from Ministry of Health in Pakistan. I would like to know about this fellowship program. Is it open to non-U.S. citizens or only to the U.S. citizens? And also the provisions by Academy of Public Health Informatics. All these all facilities for the U.S. citizen or? Thank you.
With regards to the Public Health Informatics Fellowship Program at CDC, we do receive applications from international applicants.
And as far as the Informatics Academy goes, we are beginning to explore extending the Academy program to delivery partners in other countries. I say that cautiously because we have a big agenda on our plate, and we don't want to overstep our bounds, but we are considering how to build a collaboration with universities and other partners in other countries as a way to move our training material to a broader audience. So it's in the works. Were you going to close? I don't want to close. So, so David, no, just a couple comments. I thought one of the things that I think that we need to get at with the informatics training, that one of the central learnings that we've had so far out of the first class of the Informatics Academy was that a team-based approach work facilitated the way we did it was effective and useful, and that teams working with other teams was added even more. So health department cross-pollination was important. It's also important, I think, to recognize that much of informatics practice ultimately becomes a joint activity. It's rare that it's just a one-man band kind of operation, that it is takes multiple groups working together. And as Jim Pearsall pointed out, the enterprise informatics infrastructure of the future is the enterprise, multiple people working across programs, in fact, and across organizations. So the team-based learning is what we're saying is really a sweet spot. That is not going to be easy to pull off. It's a costly way of doing training, but yet it has the most punch. And that's something that we're grappling with. But I think it's something that if we can grapple successfully with it, we'll have a transformative power within health departments. Another point I thought worth bringing back out, Jim mentioned it, and that's the leverage with the Public Health Accreditation Board. I happen to be a big fan of the public health accreditation effort. And I think it's a way of us instantiating what constitutes satisfactory enough or good enough capability in certain core capabilities, informatics, information systems, information management being one of those. And I completely agree with you, Jim, that embedded in some of those FAB requirements is that. I hope that they improve. I hope they could even be more explicit, but I think accreditation is an enabler here. And then finally, the financing of all of this, I'd like to make an appeal. I said earlier that this can be enabled in part by the grantors, the funders, people like CDC and HRSA, allowing the practice community to use some of their money to get training. But do it smart. Again, Jim made, a very wise comment about where we are with this budget crisis and we're sort of rethinking the assets we have and making the most out of what we have. So we have to help the people we do have know enough so they make wise choices and actually lead to build good systems. But it's going to take some work with both the funding side to allow the practice community to do what the practice community knows it needs to do, and not be hamstrung. So anyway, my two cents. Marty?
I'll add my one cent maybe. Just to follow up on Dave's comment related to the training part in education, I think one of the challenges in the evolution of the new discipline, again, is the issue of mentors and guidance. And that, I think, remains a challenge within the health departments and in the communities. And we need to find a way not only to develop and support those efforts, but also within the health department, those who take the academy or take a certificate course also become a research for that growing. And not unlike what epidemiology did as they really developed the EIS program and developed the informatics capacity in organizations, and it's the home of where students come these days in terms of learning about epidemiology from their peers. And they have a place to go for those informal kinds of questions to help avoid the potholes, sometimes they avoid the crevasses that may be there, but in an informal type of basis that supports it. And I think the more we can do to support even a virtual or integrated network of people that will help in this mentor role on these projects that are rolling forward, the faster we can really deploy new individuals that are trained and experienced who themselves can become important assets for conveying of the knowledge related to the practice of informatics. And so I think that's an important challenge that we have as we move forward in the whole training aspects. It sometimes gets put aside because we can't get to the nirvana that we want of everybody sort of trained. We have a process to go through, and right now we have a shortage of those mentors and skilled folks, but we have to call upon all of us, all of you here in particular, who have the knowledge and experience in your own agencies to really help identify core groups that can really help deliver that support that's needed as training goes forward.
Any further comments? Do I have permission to close? I want to thank the audience for attending and for your insightful questions. I think we all enjoyed this discussion. And, of course, I'd like to thank our panel, who provided a lot of stimulating content for us in looking forward. So no matter what happens, a final comment, no matter what happens with the budget, public health informatics is with us to stay. We're going to need a strong workforce, and CDC is going to make sure that that happens.
In our partner.